You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It's time for another edition of the Mitch Henderson Show as we take an inside look at Princeton Tigers basketball. We welcome in the head coach of the Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Derek. I'm doing great. You know what? And another nice turnout here at the AMB. So this is fun to be with you.
Fantastic. And obviously, it's always a lot more fun and easier when you come off of two wins as the Tigers were able to do over the weekend.
Yeah. You know, I tell the guys sometimes triumph is to be treated the same as tragedy, but really, triumph's a lot better. So we're pleased, and I was really happy with the weekend.
Let's take it back first to, of course, when you take a look at last Friday first with the Tigers grabbing.
Last week you flipped it on me. You know,
After you mentioned that, I was like, I got to go back to the way that it was.
No, it's good. It's sort of the way you remember it.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, certainly as you know, the Friday, Saturday weekend, but. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's okay. So the 68-59 win over the Cornell Big Red, very back-and-forth game, a lot of momentum swings, especially in the second half. Cornell goes on the huge run, and one of the more pivotal points of the game, there are actually many, but one of them, the Tigers were leading 61-59, and Stephen Julian had an opportunity to tie the game up with a dunk. He misses it, and the Tigers are able to take advantage from that point on. But the larger view of that miss dunk was that was a part of a roughly 5-minute span where the Tigers shut down the Big Red. How about the Tigers' defense and how they were able to close out the game?
Well, Brian's doing such a good job up there, and every single game that we've seen them play over the course of the season, they're making a run, and they make these, you know, and it largely has to do with, they've got a press, and this kid Steve Julian, who you just mentioned at the top of that press, and you know, we just haven't seen that a lot in our league. So they make these runs, and then the game tends to get just a little bit tighter in that. I think, if you've got guards that are just not afraid of what they're seeing in front of them and they can kind of get you in an offensive a flow that they like, then it doesn't bug you. But, two games in a row, the game I thought swung on like a big run. And this game in particular, you're right, he misses that dunk. And then we come down, and I thought we exerted control. We took control of the game after that point where we back control again, and we went back inside. And I was really happy with the play, in particular of Jerome. You know, he's, you know, two double-doubles on the weekend, but his first on Friday night. And then I thought Ryan was just terrific. He made play after play where, and I think at that 61-59 moment, he put Matt Morgan on his back and laid the ball in and put it back up four. So those easy baskets make a real impact on the game.
When you take a look at the weekend as a whole, one of the storylines that we're going to talk about as the show progresses is obviously the development of some of the younger players on the team, which was just huge in particular this weekend. But after the game, you talked about Miles Stevens and his ability to help really close out Matt Morgan in a lot of situations. One of the things that kind of gets lost in the shuffle about how good of a player Miles Stevens is the fact that he is one of the better players, obviously, in the Ivy League offensively, but he's a two-way guy, and he's able to produce on both sides. How about his efforts again against Matt Morgan on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a student, and I say this because for me this is the highest compliment, I played on a team with Sidney Johnson, who's now the head coach of Fairfield, and he was the head coach of Princeton before I was, and there were multiple games where and in particular, it was Sidney's junior year, my sophomore year, where we had to get stops or guard the other team's best player well in order for us to be successful. And game after game, Sidney would shut people down. And I think, I think Miles is one of the best defenders in the country. He's one of the best defenders, obviously, in the district. And Matt Morgan is one of the most, if not the most talented scorer I've ever seen. And I told him so after the game. He just has a gift for scoring, and I thought Miles was just fantastic. His line in both games, Miles' line and Matt Morgan's line, doesn't tell the whole story. There's an effort and a focus and a concentration defensively that's required. And I'm talking a lot here, but somebody asked me, like, what did you guys do against Matt Morgan after the game? One of the reporters, and he sort of asked me a long question, and I said, Miles Stevens. That's really what it was. I thought he's – I just think he's just been terrific.
And his performance was huge in that game on the defensive side in particular. Offensively for the Tigers, Ryan Schwieger, 23 points. We'll get to the Columbia game in a second, but he wins Ivy League Player of the Week for his performance. And it was a little bit different than the first time around against Columbia and Cornell. What did you see out of his game over the weekend?
Well, you know, for Ryan, he didn't play a lot the previous weekend, and then he played a lot in the first Columbia Cornell weekend, and then this weekend. I just thought, you know, he played like a vet. He played, in the biggest of moments, he came through. He got easy baskets around the rim, and also I thought he did a good job on Boeheim guarding him. So, Ryan, one of my favorite things about him is, we were shooting a free throw, and it was technical, and Richmond is our highest percentage free throw shooter. And I sort of asked the guys, and, Miles said something funny. And he was like, I think I've made 7 in my last 8. And everyone started laughing. And Jerome said something funny. And then Ryan goes, I'll shoot him, bro. Which is kind of the way Ryan talks. And I don't know. I loved it. I loved his approach over the course of the weekend.
Absolutely. It was huge for the Tigers. He hit a couple of three-pointers, including a huge one down the stretch to help propel the Tigers to that 68-59 win. Jalen Llewellyn, 15 points, 7 rebounds as well. You always have to like seeing the guards grab the boards.
Yeah. On the weekend, Jalen was 7 assists, 3 turnovers. I've been really pushing Jalen to continue to be aggressive. Everything we've asked him to do, he's doing it. And it's hard to play when you're getting scouted. It's hard to play when the defenses are loading up against you. But each week I see progress, and that's all I've asked. And, I keep telling him, like, don't even look at me. Keep doing your thing. And I just think there's gonna come a moment when it all clicks for him, and I think it's coming really soon.
And it was really impressive on Friday in particular, because – without Devin Kennedy on the floor for the Tigers, you have a little bit of a minutes situation where other guys are going to be asked to play a few more minutes during the course of the game. And one guy in particular that stood out over the weekend was Ethan Wright, who played particularly well. We haven't talked a lot about him on this show during the course of the season, but he really seemed to stand out on Friday and Saturday.
Well, it's really just it's hard to explain, but to people not around the program, but Ethan's a terrific player. And we haven't talked about him because he hasn't had an opportunity to play. And, that, of course, stops and starts with me. But, with Devin's absence, I really felt like we needed some shooting, and Ethan has the ability to do, a lot, not only just shoot, but he has, he's got a really good bounce to his game. And there's a confidence to Ethan that we needed. And I thought, for a freshman to come into a game like this when he hasn't been given a whole lot of opportunities and play the way he did, I thought his contributions over the weekend were huge. His mom was a terrific player here at Princeton. His grandfather played at Princeton. But what I will say is he's his own person, and he's going to make a huge mark here as a player. So I like all the players, but in particular with Ethan, I've been encouraging him to keep going. Don't stop now.
He had 8 points on Friday, and then a night later, he chipped in with 9 points and 4 rebounds in a 79-61 win for the Tigers in a game where they had 3 players in double figures, including Ryan Schwieger, who had 20, Miles Stevens with 15, and our guest later on, Jerome DeRozier, finishing out the weekend with the second of back-to-back double-doubles. Another well-rounded performance by the Tigers in that game.
Yeah, I thought, that classic Saturday night in the Ivy League, the game started out and Columbia had won the night before against Penn. And after watching the game, and you have these long weekends and you're sitting there and it's whatever a.m. it is, and you're like, well, it sort of dawned on me, and then I didn't sleep much after this, that once you get a taste for winning, because they've lost so many close games, that you want to, this is how you do it, right? Like, we're not snake bit. We're not, it's not, we're not cursed. You know, we can do this. I thought they came out ready to roll, and we were in for – I thought it was just an absolute dogfight from the very beginning of the game. And I thought there were a couple really key plays in, over the course of the game that, that made a huge impact. And one of those was, you know, I thought Jerome's rebounding Miles' defense, getting a couple extra steals. And then Ryan's, you know, confidence from the three-point line. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Absolutely. 4 of 4 from three. And we saw him play a lot in the low blocks during the course of the season, and in particular against Cornell and Columbia the first time around. But that just adds another weapon when they, when he's able to knock down a shot.
Yeah, Ryan, he's at 8:30 a.m. If you walk into Jadwin, you generally see Ryan. He's about as consistent as they come. And I don't know if, you know, hard work doesn't necessarily always pay off. But in this case, it was always going to be there. It was always there, and it was starting to come. And, you know, he's a terrific one-on-one player. He's a great passer. He might be our best passer on the team. He's got a real straight back, a real strong posture. So he's like, you know, 6'6 going on 6'8. When you stand next to him, it's unbelievable how tall he looks. He's such a good player. And what I've really appreciated is the way he carries himself off the court. You know, he's got the respect of his teammates. And I told you about the, you know, he says, like, bro a lot to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I come from an era, and I don't even think I'm that old, but, like, to me, sometimes when people say bro to you, they're sort of checking you a little bit. Like, yo, bro, I got this. You know, but it's just not kind of how Ryan talks, and I love that about him.
He was really a big part of the Tigers' weekend. Before we go to break, just one final question as it relates to shooting and three-point shooting. One of the more, I guess, puzzling things about this season, in particular Ivy League play, is the Tigers have struggled from the three-point line. And it's not for a lack of having good three-point shooters. The shots just aren't falling. Have you ever sensed the team, the confidence waning a little bit in terms of shooting the three-pointer? And if so, have you? How much do you reinforce to guys, hey, they're going to fall eventually?
Yeah, never talk about it. I just tell the guys all the time, like, it's a make-shots game. Got to put it in, you know. I'd say to them, you know, hey, look, every Saturday, Friday night, 7 o'clock, what do we got to do? They say, make shots. And, you know, keep shooting. And this is a strange year, though, just to step back. We've historically, all my teams have shot the ball really well. This line on Saturday night, I was happy about the win in a lot of ways, but it felt like the teams that we've had in the past, we shot the ball with tons of confidence, and it went in. I don't, you know, like, I think we're still scratching the surface. Honest to goodness, I believe that, and I'm really excited about what's ahead for us.
12 of 26 on the night from three for the Tigers, one of their best percentages of the Ivy season. In fact, the best percentage of the Ivy season from downtown. We'll take a quick break and come back with more here from the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton. It's the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It's the Mitch Henderson Show right here on 920 Fox Sports Radio, The Jersey, as we take an inside look at Tigers basketball with the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson, as we recap last weekend between the Tigers and Cornell and Columbia, and also get ready to take a look forward to Dartmouth and Harvard in just a few moments. But, Coach, as we look at the Ivy standings here, now the Tigers, after all of the rumbling around over the weekend, the Tigers now in a second-place tie with Harvard, who you will see on Saturday. How good does it feel to be able to get away from that three-game losing streak and kind of return things to order, if you will, with ripping off now three wins in a row?
Well, winning always feels good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it feels great. And my wife teases me all the time. She's like, winning Mitch is a happy Mitch. You know? Like, so, you know, I think more importantly, though, what you're always looking for from your team, and if you were to ask me, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, what are you looking for? It's a harmony offensively and sort of a focus and a togetherness defensively. And I always think, like, one of the good signs is when there's a media timeout and I'm coming back to the group and they're having a conversation amongst themselves. This time of year, that's what should be happening, you know. And I sense that. This is what's going on with that group. So that felt good. We were fortunate to get the wins. We were just talking off the air here. Every single one of these wins is key. because it's such a tough league.
Absolutely. We've seen, I saw over the last couple of days on Twitter, people working out different scenarios that could take place with the Ivy League. And, you know, as well as Yale has played, it doesn't take long for things to unravel quickly if you lose a game here or there to fall from 1 to 4 or further. And that shows you kind of the strength of the league as you get ready for this weekend. Now, final two road games of the season, second time around against Dartmouth. What do you expect to see in round two against the Big Green?
Well, we were really fortunate to win game one. You know, Dave's got his guys playing really well. We were down 4 with 4 minutes left and needed some really key plays down the stretch from, you know, a lot of guys to get a win. And, you know, winning is really hard. And we were up 3. And they had a Barry got a look, and Miles just tipped it with barely a fingertip. So now we're playing at their place, you know. So Dartmouth, man, they're really good. They're really good. It's probably the best 2-8 team I've ever seen in our league. So I don't look at the records. I don't even pay attention to the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think like the most important thing is that we continue to get better day to day. And generally, that happens from the seniors. Mm. Seniors and the juniors lead the way on development at this point in the season because it's the work ethic. There's a kid in our league, Oakley, from Brown, who I think is just playing fantastic, and he's playing like a senior. He's got his arm down on the ground. He's making little small adjustments over the course of the game. He's not just watching the game. He's playing like it really matters to him. It matters to everybody. But for seniors, there's an added incentive. It's like, this is happening. I'm going to do it, right? So this is what's at stake, right? There's 4 left. But the most important game on the schedule is Friday night.
Absolutely. And the Tigers will take on a Dartmouth team, that, as you alluded to. And the Tigers found out this a little bit on Saturday against Columbia. You've night in and night out, you've got to be able to bring it, because no matter the record, the opponent that particular night can be very formidable. And in their building, they have shown to be able to be tough on opponents.
Oh, yeah. They've Cornell needed an incredible performance from Mount Morgan. They had a nice win there. Brown had a nice win there. They beat Harvard, fairly easily. They're tough at home. And it's a long trip. And we've got some young guys playing. So we're going to get challenged in a lot of fun ways. And, you know, I just told the guys, hey, man, how great is this? You know, we get a chance to go on the road and, you know, how are we doing? You know, this is, the days are getting a little bit longer. And if you can continue to play when it's light out, when you get done with practice, then you got a good team. So, you know, well, this is a lot of fun.
One day later, Harvard making the trip there. And obviously you mentioned Brown a moment ago. I think if you mentioned to a lot of people that Harvard would go 1-1 last weekend, I think most people would say, oh, well, you know, maybe they win Brown and then lose to Yale because of how well Yale's been playing. But no, Brown, as you mentioned, Brown has been playing extremely well. Harvard's still very formidable with, of course, Bryce Aiken at the controls.
Well, he's just terrific. And he's in a moment right now where, you know, he's presenting a lot of issues for everybody. He's off the dribble shooting from 3, which, you know, even at the NBA level, we've seen how hard that is to guard with the caliber of players and defenders that they have. And for somebody to be able to shoot the way he's shooting consistently, I mean, if he gets an open look, the net doesn't move. If it's not contested the way it needs to be contested off the dribble, he's making it. And the most impressive thing, which nobody's talking about, is how often he's getting to the line. I think he took 11 free throws against us, 13 for 15 from the line against Yale. Maybe he struggled a little bit Friday night. I don't know. But from what I see is he's just a terrific player and creates a lot of problems for you.
Justin Bassey has been in and out of the lineup. What kind of difference does he make for this team when he's in the lineup?
I love him. I think he's, to me, I don't know, he generally takes on a tough defensive assignment. But, you know, Tommy's made some adjustments against Yale. They played some freshmen that hadn't been playing any real minutes. Lewis didn't play a lot. So, you know, that's a sign of a really good group that's got some depth coming in. And you know what? We got the same thing. You know, we've got guys making serious contributions that haven't played a lot this season. And I like where we are, and I like the way we're going into the road. And but I do, again, I want to go back. Like, I talk to the guys about attitude a lot, and I don't generally get hokey or, you know, too much on the sayings or slogans, but, you know, attitude, right, stance, posture, position, you know, what you look like, what you feel like, what your position is on a thought, mm-hmm. What's your outlook. I think that we've got to approach the weekend with a winning mentality. Otherwise, the games, when you're playing teams at home, you're leaving too much at stake.
And obviously the Tigers with a lot of momentum heading into the weekend, and they'll try to continue that. Before we let you go, Coach, I wanted to ask you about two members of your staff. First, Jonathan Jones, the assistant coach, reaching the Kane University Athletics Hall of Fame. You were there last week as a part of that ceremony. What was it like to see him go into the Hall of Fame? We had him on the show a couple of times so far this season. You can tell he's a little bit shy about talking about his success as a player.
Well, you know, JJ is from a terrific family, and, you know, when I got there, I was talking to his mom and his dad, and his dad started laughing, and I realized, you know, it's this big, like, you know, I can't even do it. But you realize right away that it's JJ's, you know, JJ, where JJ get his laugh from. And his mom's a former teacher, educator, and his dad worked for the New Jersey Transit for 33 years. And, you know, it's a very solid family. And that was evident in his speech that night. He is absolutely beloved at Kane. And he got up, and the first thing he said, and this is so important to him, which is why our guys love him and I love him, he said, I'm not just up here because of the kind of player that I was. I'm up here because of the kind of person I am. And the confidence with which he said it and the truth behind it for the people that know him, that was worth it. And I told our guys about it the next day. I said, yeah, this is 100% true. This is somebody who got 23 rebounds in a college game, and my guys are still, you know, naive enough to think that Division III basketball is not that good, right? But every day they go up against JJ in practice. If he does practice, whenever he does, he kills him. You know, he's the best. He's so tough. And it's largely in part because of the kind of human being that he is. He's a five-star person.
And it's been a credit to be able to see him at work with the Tiger staff and the players as well. Another guy who is a part of the staff, one of our guests tonight, Chris Mongelia, the director of basketball operations. How about the role that he plays within the program? Because his job is by far one of the more difficult jobs you could have, and the ability to be able to get everybody on the same page.
Well, you know, what most people don't realize is, okay, so there's me, and there's three assistants, and then there's the basketball operations. Okay, now, like, we're running, we've got to coach the team, we've got to, you know, run camps, recruiting, there's logistic stuff with the, you know, you've got 17, 18 guys' schedules, right? So the way that we do it, and what works really well for me, is that Chris and I talk and meet and do things almost in a symbiotic relationship, right? Like, I need, what's really good for me is to have somebody like kind of a right-hand man, right? Like, so, but also, you know, and that's Chris, like, right? Every single thing that I'm like, hey, this, remember that we've got this, and now he's like completely on it. He's way ahead of me. I don't know if I can even remember one thing that, you know, he hasn't said, okay, oh yeah, I forgot about that. You know, he's completely on it, and he's got a great basketball IQ. You know, he's an ops, but he's also a basketball guy. You know, we're not allowed to say that he's a coach per NCAA rules, but he sees the game, and our guys know that he's supportive of them. And you know, he's Munch. He's you know, he's from a great family. They are you know, local, and you know, Chris is all in on wherever he is. You know, he's all in on his family. He's all in on his job, being the best person that he can be. And I always tell everybody on the staff, I'm like, get to know everybody within the department. You know, that's one of the fun things about working in athletics is to know the people on the hallway. And you know, Chris is always, everybody loves Chris. You know, he's always stopping in and saying hi and checking in. And, you know, he teaches me a thing or two about all of that. I think that's a valuable thing, and we're lucky to have him. I'm glad he's your guest tonight. He's probably got more fun things to say. The last thing I'll say about him, he's a huge Colts fan.
Yes.
Which is random for a Jersey guy. But, you know, I'm from Indiana, so.
You appreciate that,
yeah,
of course.
Man, come on. It's, you know, I didn't know that when I hired him, but I knew there was something about him I liked.
Well, we will hear more from him in just a few moments. He'll be joined by Jerome DeRozier as well. Coach Henderson, thanks once again
for
joining us.
Yeah, and listen, I want to just give a shout-out to my guy Art here sitting at the end of the bar here. We got a terrific turnout here at the AMB. We're so thrilled to be here doing the show here regularly.
Each and every Tuesday night during the Princeton basketball season beginning at 6 p.m. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Jerome DeRozier and Chris Mongelia right here on The Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey.
And now, more of The Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to The Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones as a part of The Mitch Henderson Show. Thanks once again to Coach Henderson for joining us. We'll bring in our special guest here in just a moment. A reminder, The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host The Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. At this time, we bring in our special guest this evening, the Director of Basketball Operations, Chris Mongelia, and Princeton forward, Jerome DeRozier. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey, Derek. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to have you both. And Jerome, let's start with you. An impressive weekend for the Tigers. And how does, on your end, 25 points, if I'm doing my math correctly, and 20 rebounds over the course of the weekend sound?
It sounds pretty good. I actually didn't know I got my first double-double on Friday night. I actually thought I had 9 rebounds, and I was a little mad. And then Monge came in the locker room and told me that, you know, I got it. It made me happy, but then it also, I knew I had to get another one because one is not good enough, obviously. And I just want to keep going from now. I just want to get more, you know.
You've been close a few times this season. You've had a couple of 8-9 rebound games. And you've been a couple off. It must feel good to get that going and back-to-back games in the Ivy League. That's not easy.
Yeah. In the beginning of the season, Monge would kind of mess with me just saying that I wasn't a double-double guy. It was obviously a joke. He was just trying to, you know, get me to get that one last rebound. But to finally do it, and especially two, you know, in one weekend, it felt good.
Chris, this guy here, he's one of the more enjoyable guys I've seen play because – he's smiling when he plays the game. And a lot of guys don't smile when they play. There's a lot of seriousness going on out there on the floor.
Yeah, I don't know that he did that too much last year. I think last year he was trying to figure it all out, and then maybe midway through the year he kind of figured that, you know, basketball's a fun game, and smiling is a lot better for Jerome when he's playing happy and loose and carefree. And, you know, if you ever watch him before tip-off in the first half and second half sometimes, whatever music's playing, Jerome's usually feeling it. And we like seeing that because I think shots are going to go in if he's feeling good.
Yeah.
Coach Henderson talked about your role with the program, and one of the things about that role is you spend a lot of time, obviously, around these guys off the floor. What's it been like to watch the development of guys like Jerome and some of the younger players who played a pivotal role this weekend?
It's really like the best part of the job, you know, getting to see these guys when they come in as freshmen. And you know, Coach Henderson always says, like, freshmen, they just don't know anything yet. And it's so true. They don't know what the back-to-back is like. They don't know what a plane ride for 5 hours is like going to the West Coast. And just to see them learn and develop and have things click for them, it's really a great feeling, especially with Jerome and Ryan, who have, you know, had good weekends this past weekend. I told Ryan he had a layup line drill in practice about a month and a half ago. I remember Jerome was in the room when I was talking to him. I was like, Ryan, like, what was that about? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, you look different. Like, you were going extra hard, really fast, really strong. And from that moment on, Ryan, his confidence has grown. And just to see those little moments like that, that people don't get to see, you know, when the bright lights are on, that's what it's all about for us. And we really enjoy that.
Jerome, do you sense that as a player? Because a lot of times players don't, they're just playing. And they don't see maybe the things the same way that the coaches do. Do you see that progression on yourself?
For sure. I mean, especially like Coach said, this weekend when I saw Ryan hit some shots, I couldn't help but smile and, you know, get him hyped up because he figured it out. It was working. You know, I remember that one play, I think against Columbia, he got a dunk too in the lane, and I was so happy for him because I knew that, you know, this is the Ryan that I know. I've seen him, you know, in practice and pick up, you know, preseason. So I know what he's capable of, but to see a player like him and other guys on the team do that, and you know, when they do well, we're just happy for them.
How about this weekend coming up? Big challenge for the Tigers. Back on the road after playing four games in a row at home. Up first is Dartmouth, who is a team that has not played well in the sense from a record standpoint, but obviously they've given teams a lot of headaches in their building.
For sure. I mean, we don't really look at the standings too much. I know that's so cliche to say as a coach, but our coaching staff that do the scouts, Sky, Brett, and JJ, you know, they do a good job of letting us know that, you know, they're not a 2-8 team. The way they prepare our guys and prepare the coaches for, you know, the tendencies of each player and what we have to take away and what the keys are. Every night that we walk onto the court, I feel like we think we're playing the best team in the league based on how our coaches have prepared our guys to play. So we're really looking forward to the challenge. Obviously, we had a really good game with Harvard here at home that we thought we let slip away a little bit. And then obviously the Dartmouth game was in up in the air until that last shot. They didn't go down for them. So it's going to be a challenging weekend for sure on the road, but I think our guys are looking forward to it.
How difficult is it to you mentioned one game at a time, especially in this league. That's extremely pivotal. But you can kind of see in the distance the finish line a little bit. How important is it to close out this season strong and be able to give yourself that extra bounce heading into potentially the Ivy League tournament?
It's not too different than how we've done it all year. I know that everyone's looking at the Ivy League tournament now and saying, like, when are they in? When did they clinch? Like you were talking about, we all see it on Twitter. All the coaches are on Twitter, you know, for recruiting and seeing what's going on around the country. But we're really just focused on winning Dartmouth and Harvard. It's hard enough to win one game in the league. You got to always try to win two on the weekend. So if you start looking at Brown and Yale and the Ivy League tournament, you're going to lose the games that are in front of you. So we're really focused on Dartmouth. We did those. We did Harvard the last 2 days. We'll do Dartmouth Wednesday and Thursday. And when the ball goes up on Friday night, we won't think about Harvard until the game's over on Friday night.
Jerome, what does it say about the team? You look at Richmond Ariri Guzzo this past weekend. He typically has been a machine getting into double figures throughout the season. 7-8 on Friday night in the win over Cornell. And then he got into foul trouble a little bit on Saturday night, and wasn't as big of a factor as he's been, but the Tigers were able to kind of pick him up and help out. What does it say about the team to get all of the different contributions that you were able to get throughout the course of the weekend?
I mean, I think it just shows how deep our team is. You know, anybody can step up at any moment and make that one shot, that, you know, get that one rebound to get us that win. Obviously, Saturday, you know, when Rich got his fourth foul, we were like, okay, like, what do we need? What do we do now? Sebastian and I had to step in, but the fact that we also made shots on Saturday, it helped us a lot, and I think it shows that we can, you know, we can do a lot of things, and we're like, I guess we're a special group, you know, and we're confident for the next games, I guess.
How different is this team from the end of the non-conference campaign to right now?
It feels really different. Coach McConnell and I were having a conversation the other day about how we felt like the season went by so quickly. We were like, oh, my God, we only have four games left. But then we were thinking about how long ago GW at home felt. That feels like it was last season to us right now, yeah. Derek. And just the progress that all these guys have made with all the time and work that they've been putting in. I don't think that Ethan played at the end of the non-conference. I don't think Max was getting too much burn at that point. So we're other guys are stepping up, and Ryan Schwieger, you know, has, everyone's talking about Ryan right now. He just won player of the week. We've had so many people step in and have good games and good moments. And like Jerome said, it's the depth that we have right now and the confidence that we have in any of our guys at any moment to step in and make a big play and try to contribute to the game.
And he's another Tiger who's been able to grab a player of the week honor. That's pretty impressive.
Right, right. He's the fourth one on our team this season to win Ivy League Player of the Week. That's a really good accomplishment, and no one else in the league has more than two, so we're really proud of that, and it speaks, like Jerome said, to the dynamic of the group.
Yeah, the depth in particular that has made this team really strong, and it has to make it strong, too, from a preparation standpoint. If you have guys who, you know, at various points of the season have been coming in off the bench who are now Ivy League Players of the Week, I mean, that says you have a pretty good basketball team.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it shows that we also have a lot of weapons. Like, I know that when we need a defensive stop, you know, Max will go in. And then coach said, you know, we need a three, and Ethan came in and made a shot. I think some teams have something to fear, you know, when we play them. Yeah.
Makes for a very interesting dynamic as we get ready for the next four games. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, more discussion with Chris Mongelia and Jerome DeRosier right here as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show. A reminder, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show each and every Tuesday night during the season. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. When we come back, we'll have more from the Alchemist and Barrister right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey, it is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. We're here with Chris Mongelia, the Director of Basketball Operations, and also Princeton forward Jerome DeRosier. Jerome, do you have a favorite go-to story about Chris?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess it was kind of a – it was funny. Last year at Dartmouth, we were warming up, and I think Monch could tell that I was maybe nervous or I really wanted – you know, I was focused. But I wasn't the Jerome that I usually am or that I am now. And he sat me on the bench. I was like, how do you usually play basketball? Like, are you a serious guy or are you a happy, you know, laughing guy? And I answered him that usually I'm smiling and dancing a little bit, and that's the way that I play my best. And he told me that that's how I should just approach the game from now on. And I think that really resonated with me. I mean, from that point, I've just been trying to do that all the time. It's small conversations like that I always have with Monge that they stay with me, you know. And now when I warm up or during a timeout, I'm always, you know, dancing and smiling, and it makes the small mistakes go away faster. And I think that's how I just play, and it makes my game better. You know, so yeah, that's my first story.
that's pretty cool because, you know, there's a lot going on during the course of a game and before the game. You're trying to remember the scout, you're trying to make the mental preparations, and of course physically get ready as well. And it's got to be important on your end to be able to connect with the players and just kind of loosen them up a little bit and make them remember, hey, there's a reason why you're here.
Yeah, it's funny. Jerome, he has like this thing with all the NMH guys that he went to school with, and mm-hmm. they're scattered all over the league. And whenever we walk into a gym and he sees an NMH guy who we went to high school with, there's always like this big smile on Jerome's face. And he gives him a hug and they talk for about 30 seconds and then they go and warm up. And I had just happened to see it and I saw him going to talk to Ian Sister, and he had this great big grin. They had a big laugh and smile. And then all of a sudden I watched him walk away in this moment that he's talking about, and he went back to like frown, lower brow, like really serious Jerome. And I'm like, what's he doing? Like, is he stressed? Like, is he not shooting it well? Like, those are the things that you just talk about. Sometimes, you know, you can say something to a player and they don't resonate with it, and you try again another day. And you just hope. I didn't know that it resonated that much with Jerome when we had that conversation, but it's good to know that at least I'm doing something right around here.
And it's got to be important, too, because the younger guys are still – they're trying to figure it out. You know, guys like Miles Stevens who have been through the battles year after year, he kind of knows what to do and how to do it, but – if you're a freshman, you're a sophomore, and you're trying to get acclimated into things, that can be difficult.
It's interesting. Like, I still have little moments with Miles where he'll just look at me, and he does, like, the typical – he'll be like, right, right. He'll say right twice to me. And it's just almost like – I guess in that moment with Jerome, I was trying to teach him a little bit. Mm-hmm. But with the older guys, it's more of a, like, reminding them, like, this is what it's all about. And he goes, oh, right, right, right. And then, you know, you just go back to it. So – it's a lot of fun, and we get to do it every day for a living, so we're really fortunate as coaches to be able to do that.
Standout memory for you this season has been what?
Oh, man, that's a lot. That's a tough question. I think the easy one is kind of Arizona State.
Right.
That was a really great trip for us. We were out there for 4 days. We were able to go to some cool dinners, have some downtime with the guys in the hotel just to talk outside of basketball.
And you're the guy setting that stuff up, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's
yes.
That's important to note.
Yes.
Those trips, they are very active for the non-conference portion of the schedule.
Yes.
Those are not easy to line up.
That was my gift a little bit, Derek. It was at the end of the non-conference. It was 4 days in Arizona. I made sure I picked a really good hotel because I was going to be there for 4 days. But even just the course of that game, you know, to be in that environment, it was a special opportunity. They had just beat the number one team in the country. So to go out there and beat a Pac-12 team, the way that we did, you know, the four shots that they missed at the end of the game or three shots, whatever it was, I felt like it took about an hour to go through. But just the celebration with the teammates, the players and coaches after the game, that's what I'll remember. Those are you remember the plays, but you remember like the sharing of hugs and high fives and all that stuff and the smiles in the locker room and of course Bill Walton.
No one will ever forget Bill Walton.
I can't leave Bill out.
such an iconic figure. Obviously, you know, if I ask you this question 3 or 4 weeks later, perhaps you're hoping to have a different answer.
Yes.
Depending on how the season runs out here. Answer for both. What do you think the team needs to do to be able to kind of hit those goals as you head towards the end of the season, get in the Ivy League tournament, of course, grab the Ivy League tournament, get into the NCAAs?
I mean, as of right now, Munch kind of touched on it already earlier, but it's really one game at a time. And to really focus on the scout, I mean, especially going with Dartmouth, they got a lot of good shooters. And I think if you focus on that and we just do our job and then we just, you know, take care of business on the offensive end, I think we can do it. So, like I said, one game at a time.
One thing I've always been fascinated with in the Ivy League, especially this version of it, where you have the league tournament kind of in play and everybody, as we've talked about throughout the weeks here, everybody is throwing their best shot each night in the league. Is it tougher to prepare for an opponent coming off of a loss against that team or the other way around?
I think you'll drive yourself insane if you try to figure out which one's harder. I think they're all hard. I remember 2 years ago we had played Penn in the Ivy League tournament when we had beat them twice in the year. Maybe that gives the team a little bit extra motivation. I'm not sure, but I think they're all hard. I really don't know that it's easier ever in our league. Every coaching staff is so good at scouting. You see the personnel. Everyone knows, like, you're in the non-conference, but, like, we're still watching Penn and Harvard and Yale and Dartmouth, Cornell, Columbia. We're watching them in November. You know, we have all year to go and play them. It's not like we're just showing up on, you know, the week of and seeing what Matt Morgan's doing that week. Like, we've seen them all year, you know, and they're doing the same thing. So the familiarity in the league makes it difficult no matter you beat them twice, three times, whatever the case may be. It's a new time every time the ball goes up.
One final break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up with Chris and Jerome right here on the Mitch Henderson Show, Fox Sports Radio, 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned.
A lot of people talk about new and improved, but we really mean it. We're the Orthopedic Center at RWJ Hamilton. We have fellowship-trained orthopedic and spine specialists for joint, back, and neck pain, as well as Mako robotic arm-assisted surgery. So you'll not only be improved, you'll be a whole new person. Visit rwjbh.org/ortho. RWJ Hamilton and RWJ Barnabas Health Facility. Let's be healthy together.
It either is or it isn't. When it comes down to it, that's all that really matters when choosing a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. It's either certified by Mercedes-Benz factory-trained technicians, or it isn't. It's either backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, or it isn't. It's absolute confidence in 30,000 precision parts, or it isn't. The Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through February 28th, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Come in today and we'll help cover your first month's payment. Offer available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. There are those who settle for nothing less. For them, the choice is simple. It's either up to Mercedes-Benz standards, or it isn't. It's flawlessly maintained, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first month's payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it. With the AutoZone Rewards Program, members get more, like a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $17.99 after a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
For the past 100 years, generations of men have trusted Barbasol Shaving Cream to deliver a close, comfortable shave. Barbasol continues this legacy with the Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus Razor. With 6 ultra-thin, open-flow blades and a crafted metal handle, Barbasol is proud to offer a razor that lives up to the exceptional quality and honest value that you've come to expect. Get yours today, in stores or online at Barbasol.com.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Final segment here of the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. We are wrapping things up with Chris Mongelia and Jerome DeRozier as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show. We'll be here with you each and every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. right here from the Alchemist and Barrister. Guys, before we wrap things up, a couple of rapid-fire things here. We were talking about Coach Jones with Coach Henderson a little while ago. It looks like when you just watch him on the floor, it looks like he can still play.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He could go get a double-double.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What have you learned from him, Jerome?
I mean, so much, but mostly is the work, like post-work, moving my feet, and also rebounding. I mean, he was such a good rebounder in college, and he taught me to learn angles. I mean, Monge did as well too, but the way the ball comes off the rim and how to use my feet too around the post and to really follow through both hands when I'm around the rim to make those layups.
Jerome, it's okay to say that you learned rebounding from Coach Jones. I didn't get too many rebounds in my days.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's both of you guys. You did the mental part.
Oh, okay.
You're a Colts fan.
Yes.
How does this team jump into the Super Bowl?
The Colts, wow.
I'm going all over the place in the last couple minutes.
I got to focus on football now. I think they just got to continue to do what they were doing at the end of the season. I mean, they started the year off, I think, 1-5 and then got really hot, and Andrew Luck's back to normal, so sky's the limit for them.
Are you fearful of the Patriots again next season, or you think?
No, you want to beat them.
Yeah.
You want to go right after them. Old number 12 is on his way out. New number 12 is on his way in.
Oh, I love. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And quick, Derek, little shout out to my dad. It's his birthday tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday!
Happy birthday to my dad. Him and my mom listen to every episode. They're big fans of yours. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
And he's a big Colts fan. He's why I'm a Colts fan. So.
Yeah, we Coach Henderson brought that up about how you're a Jersey guy, but you're a Colts fan.
Yep. He used to have season tickets when they played in Baltimore, and he stuck with them. So.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
I got roped in there, too.
Jerome, before we wrap things up here, a couple of keys for the Tigers moving forward into this weekend.
Mostly the word of the season has been, stay together. We're going to do this as a team, and I think that's what we need to focus on for the last four games.
Chris, how about you?
I think the old saying is the hay is in the barn a little bit. All the work that we've done up until this point is kind of finished, and I think focus and effort is probably going to be what gets it done for us. If we can really focus on the details of the scouting reports and give it maximum effort, I think we'll have a good shot.
Yeah.
Another huge weekend coming up for the Tigers. Right now in the Ivy League, Yale at 8-2 after the loss to Harvard on Saturday night, and that amazing finish, 7-3, 7-3. Princeton and Harvard from that point on in second place, tied for second place, and then Brown right now and Cornell tied with a mark of 5-5. Obviously, if you're the Tigers, you want to stay as much and as far away from that cluster of action at that four spot.
For sure. Let's win on Friday, Derek. Let's win on Friday.
Sounds like a plan. Brown, Cornell, and Penn all within one game of each other. Princeton and Harvard have a two-game edge out of that fourth spot, and we've seen in the last couple of seasons in the Ivy League tournament that fourth place spot has been up for grabs in that final weekend, and the Tigers will try to stay obviously away from that. Dartmouth and Harvard on the slate coming up this weekend, and we will have a recap of all of that action headed your way coming up next week at 6 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Radio. Special thanks to Coach Henderson, Jerome DeRozier, and Chris Mongelia. I'm Derek Jones saying so long. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, everybody.